Hello and welcome back to the Millennial Ag Podcast, where agriculture is always on tap and no topic is off limits. Thanks for joining us today, your co-hosts, Valene Cawhorn and Catherine Lotsbeach.
Hey guys, welcome back to the next episode in our May Mental Health 2025 series. We've really enjoyed the last several episodes as we've had some really great guests in this year's series. And this year, we are really excited to welcome someone who has a little bit of a history with this podcast. Eric Blazer is joining us today, and his wife, Megan, joined us last year around this time, had a really great conversation with her about, you know, a little bit about mental health, her coaching journey, and the kind of tools and skill sets she's trying to bring to our local community to help people improve upon themselves, have some personal growth, and be able to support themselves and others when there's tough times around in the community. So Megan suggested that Eric should join us this year. He has had his own share of mental health challenges and growth and doing the work to come along to a healthier mindset. And, you know, in agriculture, these stories go untold a lot anyway, but the ones that especially go untold are from the male perspective. And we've made an effort the last few years to try and have male guests on to, you know, shed light on that part of the story. And we're excited to be able to do that again this year with Eric. So without further ado, Eric, would you please go ahead and introduce yourself and we'll kick this thing off?
Yeah, sure. Thank you. It's nice to be here today because this is a subject that's really important in our lives because it kind of set us on a course that we never expected. But just to give you a little brief history of myself, I'm fourth generation dairy farmer that grew up in Northeast Wisconsin on the family farm. We relocated to Colorado in 2013. So I've been here about 12 years, came here to manage a dairy and for Megan and I to kind of build a life together. After moving here, we now have had two boys. They're 9 and 7. So we've added that to our lives as well. But yeah, been in dairy my whole life and grew up on the family farm. And I know that that's something that is going to be very common to a lot of people that may listen to this podcast. And, you know, I'm just going to hopefully bring to light some of the struggles I had, some of the positives, some of the negatives, and kind of how we shaped our future with what we were able to do with all those experiences. So happy to be here. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric, for joining us. I know it's a hard conversation to have, but it's one that's really, really needed, especially in the agriculture community where a lot of the culture is to pull up our bootstraps and be tough, which is important on a day-to-day operation when cows need milked or fed and so forth. But it's also really important to take care of ourselves and our mental health. So when, and I know this is probably a loaded question, but when did you realize that your mental health needed to come to the forefront and be made a priority?
Yeah, that is a question that's difficult to answer because I spent so long not realizing how unhealthy I was inside of my own head, how long it was that I didn't really like myself, how I really wasn't even enjoying what I was doing anymore. I mean, I just kind of got sucked down so far. I think to put it all together, to put it simply, it was just a point where I didn't like who I was anymore. I wasn't enjoying my day-to-day life. I didn't even hardly like dairying anymore. I mean, it just really was a dark place where I just kind of wanted to get through the day and go to bed at night because I didn't have any hobbies. I didn't have any goals. I didn't have any, you know, I just kind of lost track of really who I was. And Megan and I were newlyweds and that didn't even excite me on some days. And like, there was just a lot of things that were going on that I let it all slip away. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that I never talked to anybody about it. And even I wasn't able to be honest with myself and therefore not be honest with other people. So there's just a lot of things going on. But I think it just got to the point where it's like, I don't even know who I am anymore. And that once I kind of had that realization is kind of when you have to start making some tough changes and make some movement just to be able to kind of get yourself back. And that kind of started a long journey of decisions and activities and counseling and a lot of those things, you know, kind of got the ball rolling that way.
When you talk about tough changes, I understand exactly what you're saying, where it's a hard question to answer because you don't really know how unhappy or how sick you've been until it really comes to a head. And once you start doing the work and you start doing therapy and whatever else you're doing to start coming back from it, and you look back on the past, you start to see, holy crap, this really has been going on for a really long time, but it's insidious. You know, it just creeps in and it creeps in and it creeps in. And then, yeah, I mean, I totally understand of just trying to survive the day and then just going to bed because you just need to get away from it. And that's, you know, that's the only thing that you can think would help until, you know, it all blows up. But you talk about some of the tough changes that you had to start making. Would you be willing to share a couple examples of those sorts of things that started to help you?
Yeah. And this is something that's difficult for me because it was probably the hardest thing I ever had to do. But when we were still in Wisconsin, I actually made the decision that, well, Megan and I made it together. I can't say it was just me, but she allowed me to kind of figure some of this stuff out on my own because I had to come to my own realization of where I was personally and mentally. But we decided that we needed a fresh start. We needed to do some, we kind of needed to rebuild this thing from the ground up. I had developed some addictive tendencies, alcohol, other things, and there I was just in a really bad spot, and we needed to rebuild basically from square one. So actually made the decision to leave the family dairy and to move out of state for a different opportunity. And that was kind of the light at the end of the tunnel, if you will, that kind of like re-motivated me to get back in touch with the basics of who I am as a person and to kind of start building a life. And I say that knowing that there's a lot of people listening that don't want to leave their family's operations and stuff. I'm not suggesting that's what people have to do, because that's definitely not it. I just feel like for me, it was what I needed to get back to a healthy relationship, even just with myself, just everything where I was inside my own head, I just needed to leave. And once we did, then a lot of those things, you know, just putting myself in a different environment where I could set new goals, motivate myself to take care of myself. It just is kind of what helped me in my situation. But like I said, that's maybe not for everybody, but you got to start somewhere and whatever that means to you.
And I think the hardest part sometimes is starting, you know, or taking that step outside of your day-to-day, because when you get entrenched in the spiral or in the mindset, you can't see, you know, and you start losing hope. It's taking that step in a direction to find some hope and then do the hard work to get to where you need to go. But it's hard to see hope in those long days of depression and anxiety that just sometimes feel like a big cloud over your head.
Yeah. And one of the other facets of it is what was really even harder for it is I grew up on the family dairy. Like you grow up, like that is who you are. Like it's kind of entrenched in you. Like that is, it's what you spent your time doing over summer vacations. Like you're working after school, you're working before school, all the weekends, you're just there all the time. And that's, it becomes who you are. And then when you get to a point where if you don't enjoy it anymore, then what's it worth to you anymore? And, you know, like it was so hard for me to make that decision to leave because I thought I was going to be there for my entire life. And that's who I was. And I had to really look myself in the mirror and be like, is this who I am? Is this who I want to be? And as much as I love the family dairy, and I still do to this day, you know, you just have to make those hard decisions. Is this what I want? Do I need to spend the rest of my life unhappy? I'm not saying leaving is what is the reason why I got better. It's just, I need to make a change for myself. But that was really hard just because it's part of who you are. And that's what's really tough about that is I couldn't even hardly be honest with myself about that situation. And then to try to be, I couldn't tell my family that either. Like, I'm leaving because I'm having a really hard time. Like, it was hard for me to admit that. And I just kind of was telling them I don't want it anymore. And to describe it to them, I couldn't do it at the time. It's just, I think over time, I think they've realized that I'm healthier now and they're good with that. And I hope that's what comes through, because I didn't leave because I don't love them or don't love the family dairy. It's just I needed to take care of myself. And that's what it came down to. But it was that facet of it was really difficult for me.
Wow. Thank you so much for sharing that, because that whole story hits home exactly for me. I wasn't part of the deal in my family was that we had to go get some kind of school and then spend 5 years off farm before we came home to the family business. And I had the exact same goals. I was going to go right back to the farm and work on the family dairy for the rest of my life. And a lot of those same points came across in my own journey.
Hi, I'm Tom Herron, founder of Ag Professionals. Agriculture is always innovating and evolving, and at Ag Professionals, we provide the expertise to help you stay ahead. From land use planning and environmental compliance, permitting to real estate, civil and environmental engineering, and land surveying, we offer one-stop solutions you need to grow and succeed. We're proud to support the Millennial Ag Podcast because we believe in the future of agriculture. Let's build that future together. Visit our website, agpros.com, to learn how we can help your operation thrive.
What you said right there about having to admit it to yourself was one of the toughest things. Everything that you just said is so relatable, but we don't talk about it. You know, you think that you leave the family farm, you're letting your family down, you're losing your identity that you spent your whole life building, the heartbreak that you feel for yourself, the incredibly tough realization and the really hard truth that, like you said, you have to look yourself in the mirror and say, is this what's right for me? And even thinking that thought feels traitorous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. When you spend your whole life thinking that, it really does.
It does. And I mean, coming to that realization and then making the decision to leave it is gut-wrenching. And, you know, my husband and I decided that for ourselves several years ago now, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. And I've come a long way through counseling and therapy and stuff to come to terms with it, but it's still hard to think about. And I would imagine, well, I don't know, I don't want to speak for you, but perhaps the same experience on your end. And I know before we started recording, you know, you had talked about how counseling has helped change your life. Can you talk to us a little bit about those experiences and hopefully give some encouragement to anyone out there who might be in the same boat?
Yes, counseling was the key to everything for me. And I've learned a lot about it through the time I've spent. And I honestly have come to the point where I think counseling can help anybody for any issue, no matter if you think you have an issue or not. Sometimes our brains are our own worst enemy, and we can't get out of our own heads sometimes. And your brain is actually, I learned more about like how your brain actually works, and that your brain is actually trying to protect you by shielding yourself from letting you think certain thoughts or letting you say certain things to certain people or whatever it is, just because it's trying to give yourself a self-defense mechanism and keep you safe, quote unquote, safe. Yeah. But when you're unhealthy and you can't see clearly, like that's what your brain's trying to do. But it actually kind of works against you. So there were some weeks I was going 3 days a week for, you know, for a long period of time, just because I, even after moving and getting a fresh start and putting myself in an environment where I didn't have the surrounding history that I was surrounded with the family dairy and that kind of thing, I still needed to fix myself, because if you don't, those things will just keep coming back around. And that's what I found. Change of scenery worked for a while, but then your tendencies come back. Your decision made lack of honesty and that type of thing will come back, and you'll fall into the same role if you don't help yourself. So my counseling just really, number one, you got to find a counselor that works with you and who you are, your personality. And you have to be comfortable with them. That's number one, because not all counselors are going to be good, and not all of them can help you in whatever situation you're trying to help yourself with. Certain ones specialize in different things, but I found somebody that I was comfortable sharing with, because in even the first 6 months, it was hard for me to really start opening up. And then once I knew that I could trust him, then I could do it. So that's the first thing. But number two is, don't worry about them judging you, because a good counselor will not judge you. He or she is there to help you in whatever they're trying to dig, but they're going to ask you questions that are going to be difficult, and it's really hard to open up to them at first. But once you learn that you can be honest with them, then you learn you can also be honest with yourself. And once you start to do that, it opens up a lot of things that you haven't talked about for sometimes 25 years. And those things start coming out of you. And I can't even explain the experience of what that feels like, because it's just like you go from a dark room into a slightly less dark room, and you go keep going through these doors and you're opening windows, and like you start letting some light into what's going on, and you just feel better. Counseling gets a bad rap because some people think it's just, oh, I don't have issues, I'm not crazy. It's like, no, nobody's saying you're crazy. We all just work against ourselves in some one way or another. So let's just figure it out. Let's talk about it, because it's healthy. So that's a really long answer. And so I hope I didn't go too far in the weeds, but it was the counseling piece is what really helped me in the end.
I don't think you went into the weeds at all. And I really appreciate the perspective, because it takes courage to show up, especially in a rural community. We've talked about, you know, being scared that your pickup's going to be seen in the counselor office parking lot in a rural community, or that kind of thing. And so putting yourself out, one, to be vulnerable with your counselor is huge. And then to take the step to help yourself, and fear a judgment of other people too, because it gets that stigma that something's wrong or you're completely broken. And it's none of those things. We're wired to protect ourselves, and we need to unwire ourselves from protecting ourselves in those ways. You know, I don't need to overanalyze everything or worry about, you know, for childhood trauma or the family stressors or what have you that need processed and pulled out and dissected, because we make up stories in our head too that aren't always true. And a good counselor can help walk through that with you as well.
Yeah. And I think in my experience, the way my counselor explained it to me was, every time you have a thought and you have a reaction to it, every time that you have that same reaction to a certain thought or feeling, it's basically like those thought processes in your head, they kind of make a superhighway of, you know, it's just immediate. Your mind goes into one place or one reaction immediately. And so the only way to unwire that superhighway of reaction is to start to react in a different manner, to think about it in a different manner. And that's something that was, in the end, super healthy, because I don't have the immediate reactions anymore. And I actually slow myself down and I think about what I'm thinking about, and I don't react the same way as I used to. And that really helped me be just more even keel and understand what my body's trying to do, what my brain's trying to do to me. And even to this day, even though I know all that stuff about myself, those immediate reactions are still there. It's just, I have to be really good about recognizing it. And but I would have never done that without the help of my counselor. But just breaking those things down over time and getting to the root of what has bothered you all these years, or why you think about things the way that you do, or whatever that is, it's a lot of work. But trust me, everybody, it is worth it to get to the other side, because then your mind is more free, because you have other options, because you're not going immediately to one reaction anymore, because you just open yourself up to different schools of thought, and it really does change your perspective just on a minute to minute, day to day basis. You know, it's really amazing what it does once you free that out of your head.
It absolutely is. I am relating so hard to all of this, because I've had the very same experiences, and I agree with Val, you did not get off in the weeds at all. And this is a topic, maybe you did, but it's because it's a topic, it's so weedy. Right? Mm-hmm. It's all weeds. It's a thicket. You have to fight your way through it and, you know, get a machete out. Machete being a therapist or medication or, you know, a total reset like you did. It is so time consuming and so energy consuming. It is a hard, hard thing to do. You know, I think besides like the physical thing of giving birth, trying to get my mental health in line has been the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. And, you know, everything that you're saying is, it's exactly home for me again. But I think the point that I took out of what you just said there was, It's always a process. It's always a journey. There's not an end point because you have to keep up this work. And it sounds like for you, it was the same for me, that it has taken a really, really, really long time to get to the mindset that you have now, you know, to be able to catch those reactions in the minute, in the moment, and walk your brain back. And it takes so much practice, and it's an ongoing practice. And that, I think that it's probably, you know, another thing, you know, nobody really knows that until you get into the weeds of it. But just the idea of having to work that hard through something and to not have immediate gratification or an immediate fix is something that's really hard to deal with when you're in panic or flight mode. And, you know, you said that it took you 6 months to really develop a trusting relationship with your therapist. And it does take that long. And that's hard, you know, when you're in such an awful spot. But like you said, it is worth it. It is worth it on the other side. I guess thank you just for highlighting that.
Yeah. And I actually went through like three different stints with my counselor, because I did the first stint and I felt really good about where I was. And then I didn't go for a while. And then things came back. So then I went back to him, made more progress, you know, did more digging into things, felt even better than I did the first time, didn't go for a while, then it came back. And then, so then after that, it was like, okay, this is the third time. It's like, this keeps, it was a learning experience for me. It's like, yeah, this won't go away. So I knew what my counselor was telling me the whole time really was true, that you're always going to fight this. It's always going to be there. It won't ever go out of your head. And so the third time is that was the one that was the most successful, because I guess I had the realization that, yeah, this ain't going away. And then we really dug into stuff and got to the base of it all. And one of the things that really motivated me, you know, and in that moment was, I have kids now, and I don't want them to have to go through what I'm going through, or even to this level. They still will to some degree, just because we all do. But I was like, I want to raise them with some better tools than what I currently had. So I also went because I was motivated for them. I was motivated because I needed to be a better husband, a better father. Like, it was the future. I was like, it's either now or I'm never going to do it. And then I'm going to lose my chance to do it while my kids are young. And I knew I didn't have the tools, so I wanted to gain more of that too, and be in a better state. So I'm just more available for everybody that's in my family. And, you know, that was a big motivating factor for me too, was that. But it took me three times going to and from the counselor, you know, over the period of years, just to get myself to the point where I could open up enough to really make that lasting change.
At Peacock Technology, we're transforming dairy farming with robotics and AI. Our pre-brush and post-spray robots work on rotary milking parlors to ensure consistent udder hygiene, alleviating labor shortages, and maintaining high standards year-round.
Our advanced vision system and online platform integrates data from wearables and body condition scores, giving farmers a complete view of each cow's health and performance, saving time and cost while boosting efficiency and profitability.
Peacock Technology, empowering better decisions for your herd's well-being and productivity. Visit peacocktechnology.com to learn more.
We've talked about it too, is like, we want our mental health to be like a broken bone. Like, you walk into the doctor's office, you get an x-ray, you cast it, and you have 6 to 8 weeks of wearing the cast, and then it comes off, and then you do PT, and then you should be good to go, and away we, you know, away you run. Our brains are not wired like a bone. They're wired like thinking entity, and you keep ebbing and flowing and everything. So it's an ongoing process. And I appreciate you bringing light to, you know, your three different stints of it, and the courage to continue to show up for your family, even when it's really hard to do that and work on yourself so you can be more present in their life. I think that's really commendable.
Yeah. And I think the best thing that I started to recognize the triggers of what sets me on a certain path. And once I go on a certain path, then you start to roll through the cycle. And just the recognition of all those things is big, because, I mean, they're still here today. They won't ever go away. I just need to manage them differently and realize they're there. You know, and that's the only way that I'm able to get through my day to day, is to have that recognition. And it took at one point, to be totally honest about it, my counselor had me, he's like, every single thought you have throughout your day, every single one, he's like, you need to stop and you need to think about, how did you feel? How did you react? How did you want to react? What did you say? What did you do? What did you feel? And it was like, it was exhausting. It was exhausting to go through that because, but that's really what it took, because otherwise I was not in tune with what it truly was making me do. And I'm not saying everybody out there that goes to the counselor is going to have to get to that point. But like for me, it was truly needed. And to do that on top of everything else that you're doing throughout the day, you're dealing with your kids, you're dealing with like activities, you're dealing with all the things that come through in your normal daily life, on the job, whatever it is. And now you're stopping with every thought you have and you're analyzing it, breaking it down. It's like, wow, it was, but it actually like opened up the floodgates of whoa. And you realize like how badly your mind just goes to one place. And that just opens up a whole new world of, okay, I realize I'm doing this now. And that was a motivating factor in the end, because then I could start to do different things and have different thoughts and have different reactions and make better decisions as I went through my day today. And that's, you know, it's hard to sit and describe like what it feels like to finally have what feels like 5,000 tons of weight in your heart and in your soul and in your brain just lifted off of you over the course of time, because it really does feel that way, where life becomes happy again, life becomes fun. You start to see things you've never seen and things that you've never had that perspective. And it really does open up a whole new world of thought and fun and reaction. And that's where you start to get healthy, is those positive experiences start to replace all the negative ones. And then you know you can control your day. Whereas before you felt like you had zero control over anything.
Mm-hmm. To add to that, it's positive control, not trying to keep a tight grip, because if you let go, you know that stuff is going to blow up or spin out of control, but control from a place of stability and strength that you've built over time. And what you said about the 5,000 tons of weight being removed, I relate to that again. And you talked about how, you know, you start in a really dark room and you go to the next one and it's just a little bit lighter. And as you go on, you let light in and you open more doors. I love that. That's such a powerful image. And for me, it feels like, you know, it's like poison is being siphoned out of you. You're getting the really bad stuff taken out. It's almost like when you lance an abscess on a cow. Get all the bad stuff out. This might be a gross visual, but that's to me, that was the kind of relief that my experience has helped me get onto. So, you know, I think just the pictures that you are painting are really, really powerful. And I'm really glad to have you here and have such an open conversation about it. Because like we've all said, you know, it goes unnoticed, untreated, untalked about. And that it's such an insidious part of our society and our culture that, you know, causes a ton of harm that you don't realize until sometimes it's too late. So,
yeah. And we're taught to not talk about it. You know, you're tough, you're a farmer, you're, you know, whatever you are, you're taught to be tough, and you keep it inside. And that you do that for decades, and it's so unhealthy. And you gotta, number one, be honest with yourself as to how you feel. You gotta tell somebody. It doesn't matter who, but you gotta tell somebody. And if the more you keep it inside, the worse it gets. And it just, especially in our industry, like, we are tough people. We can outwork most industries because of the nature of our business. And like, that's what we do and that's who we are. And so I think that's why it's so tough to have the thought of realizing that you're vulnerable and you're not able to control this, because we want to control everything, but we can't. The mental health aspect is different than that. And we just have to find it within ourselves to be able to admit that we have a problem and that we need to address it. And it's a hard spot to get to, but I just encourage everybody to just think about where you are and like, is there, what improvements can you make? And do you feel like you need somebody to talk to? And that's where life coaches or counselors are going to help you, because everybody feels better after they get something off their chest. But if you've been keeping something in your chest for 35 years, you know, it just builds. And then that habit of keeping things inside is going to be there unless you break that cycle and that habit. And it's really hard for us to do that. But once you get to that point and start opening yourself up, just be honest with yourself as to how you feel. And be honest with other people about how you feel too. Because anytime somebody asks you, oh, I'm fine, I'm good, you know, don't worry about me. It's like, actually, you're crying inside, you're dying inside. But it's hard to admit to people that we are in that state. And that's okay. You know, we can do that. And people want to help us. And but you got to help yourself. You got to be honest with what's going on. And, you know, it's not a bad thing. That's a really positive thing. But you've got to get over that inside your own head.
And we're our own worst enemies too, I think, in that situation. Because somebody's going to judge me, or I make this really big deal out of, you know, the initial thought that was this big. And once I get it out and stuff, it's like, oh, it really wasn't that big of a deal. But you make up stories, or what are people going to think, rather than making yourself a priority?
You worry too much about what other people are going to think about you, rather than like the importance of how you feel about yourself. And then, like you said, you make up an alternate reality of why we shouldn't say something. And then we're just lying to ourselves again. And it's the cycle. This has come up now 4, 5, 6 times in the short time we've been talking. But that's the cycle of it. We protect ourselves, quote unquote, by not exposing it and by not talking about it, because we feel like we're going to get judged. And if somebody judges you for that, then is that a person you want in your life anyway? You know, like, that's really the truth of it all, is like, you want somebody that's going to support you in whatever way is going to be healthy for you and for them. Like, but if they judge you because you're having a hard time with something mentally, maybe that's not something I should be talking to, you know, like, do they really appreciate you as a true friend? Like, probably not. You know, in the last 10 to 15 years, I've really known the people that care about me are the ones that I can tell stuff. They don't judge me. And the ones that do is like, I don't really talk to them anymore, and got the negativity out. So, I mean, yeah, you need supportive people in your life. You got to be able to trust that. And I think that's where all of these changes have made such a big difference in our life now, because when Megan and I moved here, we did it together. We did it just us. We have no family here. We have no support. As far as like when we first moved here, now we have a friend group. We have, you know, the people I work for are fantastic. Like, we just have a network of people that we trust. And we've gravitated towards people that can share stuff with us. We can share stuff with them. And like, that's what's really important. And you put yourself in that way. But like, Megan and I have really gotten to the point where if something's really bothering, we just talk about it. And that was totally not my way of doing things for forever, you know? And now I've gotten to the point, it's like, well, this is really bothering me. I got to talk about it. Because now it's like, now I'm not going to just keep it inside. But you find those people that you trust to be able to do that. And it changes your life. It literally changes your life for the better, because you're not holding stuff in. You're able to be honest with other people, therefore being honest with yourself about how you actually feel. And people will actually treat you better because of it, because it's not a fake reaction. You just have to find those things. But I wasn't able to do that until I actually knew who I was. I couldn't be honest with other people until I was honest with me and whatever. You know, it's just really, it's a long, long process. Though the further deeper you get, the harder it is to come out. So, but in the end, the rewards are truly, you know, substantial, because then you can enjoy your day-to-day life. And it just helps clear your mind for everything else. Because now when my kids ask me a tough question, I'm not clouded with all the stuff that I've been holding in for 30 years. You know, now I can just be really honest about the mistakes I've made in the past that I can admit to them, because I'm okay with it now. Whereas, you know, 15 years ago, I would have just not been able to admit to them that dad did something wrong, or dad made a bad mistake or whatever. It's like, well, this is how they learn. If they know that everybody makes mistakes, you know, it helps them. And, you know, I feel better about not lying to my kids. If that makes sense, like, you know, that's a lesson that they'll learn, because I was lying to myself for so long. I was lying to other people. And, you know, so nowadays it's totally changed, and it frees you up.
Yeah, the liberation that comes from it is absolutely, there's so many nuggets in there of everything that you just said. You know, it changes your life because you're changing your brain, right? You're rewiring those neural pathways. You're fixing your mindset. You're getting to a place where you are in control of yourself and therefore can react in a more positive way to all the uncontrollables in the world, especially in agriculture, right? With weather and markets and all the things that we don't have control over. You know, you need to be in a good place in your own mind to be able to take care of yourself and then take care of the people that you're responsible for. And, you know, I think it's a really cool thing too, that what you and Megan have built here, you know, your community and the people that you've gravitated towards who will support you and you can support, you can be honest with, you know, you fire the people out of your life who, you know, shouldn't be there. There's this song that I love called Caledonia. And one of the lines in there is that I lost the friends that needed losing. I mean, it sounds harsh, but there's people in your life that probably do need losing if they're not, you know, if they're going to judge you or not support you in this way, you know, that's an influence you don't need. But coming back to, you know, the network and the community that you've built here, you've done so much work on yourself and within your family and everything that now you're giving back in a way to other people who might need support, just like you're doing here. And I think that that's one of the most beautiful things that comes out of hard times and hard work like this, is that, you know, you get more comfortable with yourself. You're able to be honest with yourself and with the people around you. And that gives us the courage to have conversations like this. And hopefully, you know, you said it when you and I were talking about scheduling this episode, that if it can help one person, just one person, all of it is worth it. You wouldn't wish it on anyone, but it's worth it.
Yeah. No, that's absolutely right. Because you realize just that, I mean, we're all just human. We all make mistakes. We all have things. We all have a situation of some kind. Some of us are way deeper than others, but, you know, I've gotten to the point, I guess maybe it's me getting older and realizing, maybe it's just being a parent. I don't know, but there's just a level of realization that I hope other people aren't, you don't have to live in a dark place the way I was living. And that's where I guess I'm okay with sharing some of the details of my story without getting too deep into it, because this can help anybody in one way or another. And if I can motivate one person to just try, that's what it's all about. Because the freeness I feel now, the positivity I feel now, it's so much better than it was before. Your quality of life is so much better. And if you can, you know, get to that point, it's a really wonderful thing. And you do enjoy your life a lot better. And it does change your entire perspective. So yeah, I think that's right. I just encourage anybody, just for anything that you have, just, you know, be okay with talking about it, because it's worth it. It's very worth it to be able to do it. And, you know, and there will be people in your life that will support you in that.
Well, Eric, thank you so much again for being open and vulnerable with us today and sharing your story. I think it's touched me and made me reflect on a lot of things. And I think it will reach out to our listeners as well and hopefully provide people the support they need as well and the courage to go find somebody to talk to. Before we wrap up, you had mentioned that you are a guitar player in training and you're also a travel agent. And so we have to get to the bottom of that story real quick before we sign off here.
Yeah, I put that on there because it's kind of funny. Well, with Megan doing her life coaching things now, she has so much training and how to talk to people, how to ask questions. And she's actually doing a keynote address in the state of Oregon in a couple weeks. And I put that in there because I wanted to just mention this if I had the opportunity. The first question is like, who are you? And introduce yourself and who are you? And I basically, like, the way I used to always say it was, well, my name is Eric Blazer and I'm a dairy farmer. And that was it. And now with her going through all this, like she was talking about some of the things inside of her presentation. And this only happened about 3 or 4 weeks ago. And she's like, well, take a look at this and read this. And she presented her information to me. And I was like, okay, well, based on that, I'm a father. I'm a husband. I'm an avid sports fan. I actually, just earlier this year, I became an independent travel agent. I have been wanting to play the guitar for 25 years. And now I've been taking lessons for about 2.5 years. Like, I'm a big music guy. It's part of the things of who I love. So the point I was trying to make with that is that we're not just what we do for work. We are so much more than just that title. There's so much more inside of ourselves that of what we are. So we're more well-rounded than just what we do. Don't let what you do define you, because there's so much more personality that you have that nobody's going to see unless you express it. So I spend my time away from the dairy, not just with my kids and with Megan, but with, I practice my guitar and that brings me a lot of joy. I listen to music that brings me joy. If I can help people go on vacations and get away from their daily lives to go relax, like that brings me joy, which is why I'm doing that. So like there's a lot of different things that you are that it's not just what you do in your day-to-day life. That's why I wrote that on there, because we're very complex people and you know, we should enjoy what makes us happy. And so don't define yourself as just that you're a farmer or just that you're a doctor or just that you're a, you know, whatever it is you do. Like there's way more to us. And so let people know that and express that. And it's really a beautiful thing to be able to realize that everybody's unique in their own way and let other people see it.
I think that's a fantastic way to end the episode, a little light and good mindset shift to get people thinking about who they are outside of their day-to-day tasks and to reflect on things that bring them joy. So again, thank you, Eric, so much for joining us this week on the Millennial Ag Podcast and to round out May Mental Health. It has been an honor and a privilege to talk to you today. And listeners, we thank you for tuning in as well. We will link all the show notes that Nora Felposh has provided previously in this episode. If you need help, do not be afraid to reach out, as Eric has encouraged you to go find somebody to talk to, but there's also resources as well. So thank you again, Eric, and thank you, listeners.
Thank you for tuning into this week's episode of the Millennial Ag Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with your friends and like, subscribe, and review to our podcast. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, or email us at talktous@millennialag.com. Until next week, we are Millennial Ag.